Welcome to ABW Radio Live. Home or away, win or lose, ABW Radio is your place to share Arsenal views. I am your host, Chris, and I'm joined by two fine gentlemen this afternoon. First up, it's my podcasting husband. It's Mr. John Welsh. Afternoon, John.
Afternoon, darling.
How are you, sweet cheeks? All right?
I'm much better now. Much happier.
You are. The beard's coming along, mate. It's much improved.
Dom's been complaining about it, so I thought I've got to let it grow back out a bit more because I can't disappoint the Aussie. He'll get very upset with me.
Well, we all know Dom carries us, so you know we've got to make sure he's a happy chap. Otherwise, stuff gets done. It's not good. Also, stepping into the breach today, it's a welcome return. First appearance of the season. His appearance fee is not cheap, so we had to get him at short notice. But it's Mr. Ellis Mel. Afternoon, Ellis.
Afternoon. Thank you for having me on again.
No problem, sir. We were a little bit short of people today, so we scraped the barrel and no, you're very welcome to return to our hallowed shores. Right, let's jump straight in then, shall we, gents? Ellis, I'll start with you. We'll start with the general thoughts on the performance and the victory today. 4-1 win at the KCON Stadium, which sounds really silly. What did you think?
I thought we started quite well. We looked quite good on the ball. Pretty open in the first half. Obviously, got the goal that we needed. Bit worried about Santi at half time when he had that yellow, and there was another chance when he could have got a second yellow. And obviously, he got the Liverpool getting the red, which opened up a bit more for us. It was a bit dodgy at the back, I thought, until, well, obviously after they got their penalty, got a bit squeaky bum time. But then Alexis put a shot in quite soon after that, and we looked pretty comfortable after that. And then Xhaka obviously put that screamer in, which is I wasn't expecting. I nearly missed it. But yeah, overall, I thought it was a decent performance. I still think we've got a lot to work on. I was a bit surprised by the lineup as well. But 3 points is 3 points at the end of the day, so you've got to be happy with that.
Yeah. So it is all about the 3 points, as the old podcast saying goes. Everything reviewed, everything. Chris looks like he's got Harley Davidson parked outside. I wish everything reviewed. I do wish. Afternoon to the chat box, by the way. Thank you, as always, for joining us. John, what was your thoughts overall then? Because we'll touch on the team in a second, but a couple of surprises once again, but full victory.
A weird game. We were comfortable for large sections of it. It's hard to say the scoreline doesn't flatter us because we had so many opportunities, but we wasted so many as well. And it looked like we were going to do that thing of our typical we're 1-0 up, could be 4 or 5, Hull get back into it and start putting a bit of pressure on and we crumble, and we didn't today. Some interesting decisions from the referee, trying to get used to what I thought was new rules, but apparently not, with the red card for the handball. Apparently that's an old rule. I didn't realise that. And then the Czech thing with the penalty, and why is that a yellow and not a red? And not that I'm complaining, obviously. That's fantastic. That's brilliant for us. It worked in our favour. It was just a very strange game. But I think over the past couple of seasons, our record after away games in Champions League has been pretty poor. So to get 3 points was really good. Hull had a good start to the season, and they looked decent a couple of times, particularly the ginger-haired guy, Klukas, is it, in midfield?
Yes, Sam Klukas.
He looked really, really good. I was very impressed with him. I'll be surprised if he stays at Hull much past the season if he keeps playing like that. He looked very good, decent player. So good result. Line up again, same as Ellis. I was a bit surprised with some of the choices made, but can't ask for more than the 3 points. That's what we really needed today. And I think at the moment, just because we are playing catch up a bit, he's just trying to get results in the bag, and hopefully the sort of more consistent performances will come as we get deeper into the season.
Yeah, well said. Ellis, let's talk about the lineup then. I'll give you both a section each then. Ellis, I wanted to ask you about the midfield, because a lot of people had some concerns or expressed some surprise that Santi Cazorla and Francis Coquelin were again paired in midfield. Granit Xhaka was on the bench once again. I hear sort of inklings from various different bits and bobs that Xhaka he's just not quite 100% settled into our formation and not quite there. So were you particularly surprised by the Santi Cock partnership carrying on?
Yeah, I was particularly surprised with probably Santi of the two, because he's played quite a few games, really, and he's not getting any younger, is he, to be honest? So I thought he might get a rest, and maybe Xhaka would come in with Elneny, or Xhaka and Kock might pair each other up. But they do seem to have, well, they used to have that good partnership, didn't they? When they sort of, Coughlin came out of nowhere, him and Santi worked quite well. But yeah, I can't say I wasn't surprised. When you spend 35 or whatever million on Xhaka, you expect him to really start when he can, and probably be one of the first names on the team sheet. And when he played against Watford, I thought he was one of our standout players of that game. So I've been surprised that he hasn't started a game since then, really. But I suppose you can't complain. Like I said, at the end of the day, it sort of worked. We won the game. And I think, obviously, Xhaka got a goal when he came on. But if you're saying what you're saying is true, then perhaps he isn't quite ready there. I don't see him in every training session. Arsene Wenger does, and he's the guy that makes the decision at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely well put. John, with regards to the up front thing, again, you know, that Rudy's just put in the chat, we won 4-1, who complains over the lineup now? You know, he's got a point, hasn't he? I mean, it's very easy to, you have that kind of irrational, what's going on now? And then you come up with a victory and you go, okay, fair enough. The one thing I'd say about Alexis up front, I said to you in our chat in my pre-game, I don't really understand it for this game in particular. But that second goal that he scores, he's in exactly the right place as a centre forward to score that. So are we all to eat a bit of humble pie, do you think?
I'm still not sold on it, personally. I know they said Giroud had a knock. I'm not necessarily sure I buy that. I think that might have been more, you've been a naughty boy, shouldn't have done what you did in the Champions League. But yeah, maybe he genuinely has, but I don't think so. He looked fine when he came off the pitch. So I think it is more down to that red card. The Alexis thing's weird because when he plays wide, he cuts inside anyway. So he just finds those spaces and gets those knockdowns and stuff like that. So he sort of pops up there anyway. I'm still not sold on it. Certain games, I think it's going to be fine. You know, if we, you know, a late stage in the Champions League, if we're away against a tough team and we need to hit on the break, then maybe, because there's space to get in behind. I can see that. That makes sense there. But when you're against the team, when you're away and you're going to have the majority of the possession and the whole, we're going to sit deep and try and hit on the counter, I think you need sometimes a target to hit in the box. Obviously, today, it didn't matter in the end. It worked. But I don't think it'll be fine in certain matchups, but I think those are going to be limited because the majority of the games we're going to have a lot of the ball and there's not going to be space for him to move in behind. So I don't think it's always going to work for us, to be honest.
Two
goals today, obviously, like one of them with a bit of luck from the deflection kind of thing that probably should be a Wobies, but he did the job today. Again, great work ethic, and like even in the last 10 minutes when we're cruising 3-1 up and the game's done, he's loses the ball when chasing back to halfway line to win the ball back. So you can't fault Alexis for that.
I wonder, just curious on this, it's something I thought about today, funny enough. The Lucas Perez signing, he's very, if you watch a lot of the highlights of him, and I'll confess I've not seen as much as some may have done of Lucas in La Liga, but the bits I have seen and the footage I've had the time to look at, which isn't all just goals, I should stress, I've watched games, just watching him generally. His style is actually quite similar to Alexis in that he's played wide for Deportiva as well as through the middle. And the one thing he likes to do is what Thierry used to do, drift wide and come inside and hit shots from all around the box. And I just wonder if maybe Arsene Wenger is trying to help settle Lucas Perez, sort of almost saying to him, this is what we're doing with Alexis, this is what we want to do with you, and almost just sort of training them into being that sort of player that he can have either of those two as a alternative centre forward, as well as having either of those two wide, and maybe it helps him settle a little bit, do you know what I mean? So like training them together and...
Yeah, so it's to help Lucas ease in and show like this is what Alexis does for the team, this is what we want you to do for the team. If you're going to be playing up front in certain games, other games you will be playing wide, which is probably easier thing for him to adapt to in a new league than it is playing through the middle. Possibly, we know he'd like to ease players in quite slowly when they come from another league, especially the slightly smaller ones. But he looks like he can handle himself, Perez, the couple of times I've seen him. I was disappointed he didn't come on a bit earlier today. I thought he could have done, to be honest.
Yeah,
I thought the same. You know, had a bit of a run out, so...
I also wonder if maybe Arsene Wenger is also, with Alexis last year, he got bullied out of games a lot. If you look back to last season, I wonder if maybe he's playing in that position to toughen him up a bit, possibly. It's one that will run, isn't it? It's one that will run. Yeah. And bear in mind, of course, last season he was trying the Theo Walcott experiment, which he's clearly abandoned. So maybe he's now trying the Alexis experiment instead. We'll move on anyway. Ellis, before we go into the goals, I just want to talk a little bit about standout performer, I thought, on the day, for not so much what he did in general, but just his sort of overall game. And that was Mustafi at centre-half. I thought he was quietly really good today. Positional play, he seemed to be organising. His partnership with Koscielny is growing. It's quite a mark of the guy that, okay, he speaks good English, etc., but he's come in, he looks like he's been there for a while already, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think the best thing you can say about a defender is when you think back on the game, if you can't think of him popping up or doing much, then he's generally had quite a good game. If he's had a quiet game, you know he's not doing much wrong, unless obviously he's a fullback, he might be bombing forward and getting assists and stuff. But generally from a centre-back sort of position, if you don't really notice him much of the game, I tend to feel that he's had quite a good one. I'd probably agree with you, he's been very solid in this game. I think the partnership of Santin Cazorla and Coquelin did push forward a bit today, but they did have the option to do that because of the 10 men for Hull. And occasionally, Mustafi and Koscielny weren't covered quite well. But I thought as a whole, he's done really well and he's sort of fitted into this team quite well, to be honest. I think a lot of the pressure that we do receive defensively does come from our field, not perhaps protecting our centre-backs as best as they could. But yeah, I definitely agree. I think Mustafi had quite a good game.
Yeah, we'll definitely come on to the fullbacks and protection and that, because that's something I definitely wanted to touch on today. John, let's move into the sort of incidents then. And obviously a goal up fairly early on. Alexis has been credited with the goal, I hear. A little bit of sort of confusion. Iwobi's shot flicking in off Alexis into the far corner after some good build-up, sadly because all are involved. I actually thought Theo Walcott's... was it a cross? Was it a shot? I want to say it was a cross. And it was put into an area that caused havoc, because the goalkeeper obviously punches it straight out to the feet of Iwobi. And at that stage, we looked fairly comfortable. Are you going to give that goal to Alexis? Are you happy to give that goal to Alexis?
I think he'll be arguing to get the goal, because you know what he's like. He wants as many as he can get. I don't know. It'd be nice if Iwobi was credited with it just because he's a young player. But I don't think Alexis is that sort of player. I think you saw that with the penalty as well. I wanted to take that, obviously. Yeah, he's just in the right place at the right time. Iwobi, I thought, had a very good game, and up to that point was starting to impose himself a bit more and trying to make more things happen. Obviously, we got a bit fortunate with where the ball fell, but you've got to be in the right place at the right time. And as bad as it was on a few occasions that we had so many men pushed up, it was nice to see that we for once had that many players in the box, because a lot of the time we are guilty of it goes wide and a Walcott or a Iwobi or say Chamberlain goes to cross it and there is either one man or no men. Whereas today there was, you know, Alexis was in there, Iwobi was coming in from wide, Walcott was doing it quite well as well. You know, Santi and Coquelin were pushing in there. So we were throwing a lot more men into the box today, which was really good. But yeah, I hope Iwobi gets it, just because he's a young player and it's just nice to get another goal to your name, isn't it?
Helps with confidence, doesn't it? Especially for, you say, a lad who's making his way. Although confidence doesn't appear to be something Alex Iwobi suffers with too much, based on his Snapchats, etc. Ellis, looking at the penalty and indeed the second goal, we'll rope the two together. The penalty, first of all, a lot of people were saying Santi Cazorla should have taken it. I think it was OG put in our group, or it might have been Dom. Only, or was it you, John? I don't know. One of the three said only Arsenal could have a goal scoring penalty taker, take the first two, score them, and then change penalty taker. So ironic.
That was Carl.
Was it Carl? Was it Carl? Right. Yeah. So none of the above then. Well done, me. I get confused. But yeah, what did you make of that incident, Ellis? And obviously the red card as well. Like John says, this new rule or not new rule. I mean, it was a pen. And I think a red's probably right in that circumstance.
I was a bit shocked. I was watching on a stream, so it wasn't very good. All of a sudden, it just sort of crashed. And then Livermore had a red card, so I didn't actually see him handball it. But on replay, it does look like he puts his his hand in the way. I think in those sorts of situations, a penalty and a red card is sort of like a double whammy. It's a bit harsh, but if those are the rules, those are the rules. You can't really complain about them too much. So as for the penalty taker Sanchez taking, I don't know how many penalties we've missed recently, but just Arsenal players in general, we don't seem to be very good. I think, didn't Xhaka miss one in the Euros? And was Ozil also missed one in the Euros as well? And then Walcott's missed one against Liverpool in the opener, didn't he? And have we missed another one before that?
Ozil missed against Napoli, didn't he, a long time ago as well? Santi missed one at West Brom, didn't he, last season when his foot gave way?
Oh, Santi's missed one. All right, I didn't think he'd missed one, but obviously if he's missed that one, but normally he does score them. So I would have thought Santi should have gone up and taken that, really. But I suppose if you're Sanchez, you just want to score as many goals as you can. And who's Santi to go and tell Sanchez? No, I think Sanchez would get a bit angry and probably have a go in Chilean or something. But I don't know.
Who is it that handled it? When it was handled, who had the shot? Was it Alexis had the shot?
No, Coughlin had the shot, didn't he? And it looked like it was going to go in. And he's played, hasn't he played like nearly 100 games and still hasn't got a goal? So he probably loved that if that went in, bless him. But
because I wondered if perhaps, because you remember the old days with the Pires-Henry days, if one player was fouled, they gave it to the other one. Do you remember those days?
Oh, yeah. It was Coughlin who had the shot. I think it was the one time he hit a volley properly in the entire game.
Yeah, it did make me laugh though how the Hull fans were chanting "same old Arsenal always cheating" when their players just handballed it to stop a goal going in, and Mbakani has been fouled and is rolling around all over the place.
In fairness, in Hull they do often share one brain cell. It's difficult to communicate all at once. That should go down nicely in Hull. That's alienated me from ever going there. Never mind.
Not a shame.
Yeah, just sticking with you for that second goal. Then it's at halftime, obviously 1-0 up and fairly comfortable. I don't think we were under too much pressure once we'd gone in front. And then Theo Walcott decided to sort of pop up for 5 minutes, and it's a good goal, I thought. I have to say the interchange, it was a very Walcottian finish, in that he did the right thing by clipping it, but only sort of just smuggled it in rather than being completely clinical. But good build up and decent finish. Credit where credit's due. I mean, all Theo can do is put the performances in, and it's a good goal.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a particularly great performance from Theo Walcott in general today, but he got the goal, so he'll be happy with that probably. Like you say, it's a typical Walcott finish. When he doesn't sort of have time to think and dilly-dally on the ball, he'll probably just put it in. But when he does have that time and space, he normally ends up making the wrong decision. But I thought Theo Walcott is a very frustrating player, and a lot of Arsenal fans like find him frustrating, judging by Twitter as well. Like today, there's a couple of times when when he used that players, he was good. I wouldn't mind it if he turned over the ball if he was just trying to run at players. I don't know if it was the second half or the first half. There was a time when Hull was attacking us and he picked up the ball sort of top end of our half going into Hull's half, and he had so much space to run into, and he just sort of stopped for a bit and just waited for everyone else to catch up with him instead of just running past the player. And most times during the game, he'd sit there, wait for a player to go like for the pass, and then misplace the pass because the pass had been obvious because he's been stood there for like 5 seconds waiting to pass to the same person, or making it obvious that he's going to pass to that person. But I suppose he's got his goal, and I think defensively he wasn't too bad. It's just the amount of times he turns over the ball. I suppose a lot of Alexis's game is like that as well. He can turn over the ball, but he sort of makes up for it because he has these moments of magic and works like a what's it to get back and win the ball if he does lose it. But I don't know. It was a good goal at the end of the day. He got a goal for himself, so he'll be happy, won't he?
Yeah, it's an excellent point. I say we'll definitely touch on that protection of the fullbacks issue. John, so at 2-0, you know, we were cruising, and at that stage it was a bit of a, 10 minutes to go. We were playing the ball around, sort of just
oh, sorry, just before we move on, we should say on that goal, the back heel from Iwobi.
Oh, yeah.
How he managed to get out of his feet. The control. That was lovely.
Yeah, he's technically very, very good football.
He had a very good game away, didn't he? He looked good against PSG as well. I think he's been doing well. He's got, like you say, he's not sure on confidence, and he does well.
Arsenal absolutely loves him, doesn't he? Really big fan of his. I think, you know, he's getting the nods, and he's a big fan. Good athlete as well for such a kid. But John, so yeah, we're sort of 2-0 up and cruising, and everything sort of seems to be fairly straightforward and lovely and happy. And then all of a sudden we do an Arsenal. Talk me through that penalty incident.
It was weird because throughout the game we'd been getting, you know, the times when Hull were getting forward was a lot of it down our left-hand side, a lot of it targeted on Monreal, not because he's a bad defender, just because he wasn't getting much cover. I agree, Iwobi, I thought, was very, very good today. The one problem he has got at the moment is his defensive responsibilities he's not doing enough of. That again, is just the sort of thing that you get from a young player, a bit of inexperience, something they have to learn. And I think majority of his game time at youth level, he's played more as a number 10 than as a wide man. So he perhaps has had less of that responsibility. But it's something that happened a couple of times again against PSG as well. And just letting that cross come in from that side, I think Cech just was a little bit slow to react. There's no doubt it was a penalty. The confusion I have on the rule in regards to their penalty and ours and whatever, like both of them were penalties. I know he pushed the ball away from goal, but surely that's still denying a clear goal scoring opportunity. But Cech only gets a yellow card and Livermore gets a red. Now, obviously, it's great for us. That's fine. I'm not going to complain because they went down to 10 men. It, in theory, made the game easier for us and Cech didn't get sent off, which is good. But it seems unfair because, I mean, if that was roles reversed and we'd won our penalty the other way around and, you know, vice versa, we'd be screaming our heads off saying, why has our player been sent off and theirs hasn't? So it seems to be some, like, inconsistency in the rule. It's very weird to me. And also, I think, like Ellis said, it seems like a bit of a double punishment. You've already given the opposition a penalty. Do you really need to send a player off as well? It's like double punishment. I don't know.
Perhaps
it seems a little bit unsporting. It's very weird.
Sorry. Perhaps he didn't get sent off because when I was watching the game, he sort of hesitated a bit, the referee, and maybe he's been told by someone else that, yeah, that he has made contact, and that's...
The linesman was the man that called it because the ref let play on because he obviously wasn't sure, and they're supposed to, if they're not 100%, then they don't give it. But the linesman obviously saw it, and then he was the one who... I think they do use the earpieces, don't they? And he notified him. But yeah, it just seems like a strange rule. I mean, today it worked out perfectly for us. It's great for us, but it's one of those horrible ones where I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of it, because if I was a Hull fan, I'd be probably kind of a bit annoyed for the, like, getting both teams getting a penalty, but one team gets a player sent off and the other doesn't. Very strange. But yeah, I don't think there's any argument on it. But yeah, that was the one issue we had all day, was it was leaking crosses down that side of our flank, and I think that was the one fault of not just Iwobi. But, you know, he should be helping Monreal. But I think the one problem we had in today's game with Coquelin pushing forward so much was that he wasn't there to cover the fullbacks. Like you saw a lot last season, he was obviously normally the deepest man of the midfield, and he would be running pitch width most of the game, covering whatever fullback needed that help, because obviously we do leave a lot of space at the back.
That was definitely the issue I wanted to bring up about, as you say, the protection. You know, it's great for Iwobi to be free spirit and enjoys football, and, you know, you want to see young players do well and get game time, etc. But like you say, there's a defensive responsibility that you've got to do full stop if you're going to play at this level, and that's something that I think needs to be pushed for sure. Just before I come to you next, Ellis, for the next question, I'm just wondering if you could do something for me. Could you just say your feeble skills are no match for the power of the dark side for me? Because you do look a little bit like the Emperor in the dark there. Like
you are? Your feeble skills? Is that better?
Yeah, that's much better. Thank you. I do
can put
sort
the dark
of like...
if you want. I can't shoot lightning from my fingers though, so...
I think that's a struggle. That's a gimmick we need to get. We need to create this character. It needs to come forward. yeah, less said about people with boxes on their heads. Let's talk about the fourth goal, which ultimately sort of wrapped the game up. I mean, it was at that stage we were comfortable. In fact, actually, we haven't even talked about Alexis's third goal, have we, thinking about it? Bring that? No, you didn't bring that up. So we'll talk about both goals in isolation, because I know, John, you want a bit of it. So we'll start with Alexis's goal, Ellis. To make it 3-1, that was so key to get it straight after the Snodgrass goal, because obviously they had a bit of momentum then. The crowd was up, instantly silenced them. Again, as we said in the intro, good finish after sort of the ball falling to him in the right place after, I think it was Walcott's shot, wasn't it? It was blocked. And then I must admit, I thought he put it over at first because he got his laces right through it. But decent finish in that position for the such a quick turnaround, so to speak, on the goal.
Yeah, agreed. Like you say, their penalty sort of came out of nowhere. We were quite dominant then, and I thought we were probably going to go on and score a third. And then they get the penalty, and like you say, the fans are on the back, and it gets a bit squeaky bum time for Arsenal. And then I think Walcott did quite well to get onto the ball originally to make the shot, and then force keeping the save. And then, like you said, Sanchez was fortunate to be in the right place at the right time, but that's what you want from a good forward, to be in those positions. And he did put it quite high into the net, but there was a couple of whole players on the line as well, so really he probably had to put it in that area, otherwise the whole player might have got to it. So I thought it was quite a good, composed finish. He took the touch, brought it round, and then popped it into the place where he was going to score the goal. So I thought he definitely settled everyone's nerves then, and then going back to two goals up, it was a bit more of a comfortable affair and a bit better for people's hearts, for the Arsenal fans' hearts anyway.
Yeah, too right. And before John waxes lyrical, your thoughts on Granit's Thunder Bastard, because that stayed hit, didn't it? 32, 33 yards, and he just looked at it and thought, yeah, why not? And just put his foot through it, and my word, that was some finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'll admit I've never really heard of Xhaka. Obviously, John, being the watching Mönchengladbach a lot, would probably know better than me. So I've never really seen him take a shot and knew he had that in his locker. But that was a proper good hit, and as you could see, Jakupovic, can't say his name, Jakupovic. Or did it, Danny? Sorry.
Yeah, that'll do.
Anyway, the whole keeper. When he went to save it, you could see it swerving in the air, and he weren't getting there. And that was, to be honest, I almost sort of missed it. I saw Xhaka on the ball and just thought I was just going to probably pass it on someone else, and then lines up for the shot and it was in the top right. And I was like, whoa, bloody hell. Good, he's got a good shot on him.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And John, go on, go for gold. You've obviously seen Granit do this quite a few times for Gladbach. He is renowned for hamming. Do you know what it reminds me of? Do you remember, you're roughly the same age as me, do you remember Jorg Alberts? The Rangers guy was nicknamed the Hammer. Reminds me the way he strikes the ball of him. It's just head down. It's all just pure belt, isn't it? There's no, don't get me wrong, you know, it's not just a hit and hope. There's sense in where he's hitting the ball, but he's got such a clean hit from distance, hasn't he?
I can't remember how many goals he's got. It's not very many. And quite a few of his goals for Gladbach were from headers, from like set pieces, obviously, because of his size and how big he is. But when he hit them, they really did stay hit. Don't get me wrong, sometimes he'd hit them and, you know, he's killed a small child somewhere in the stand. That happened plenty of times as well. but if he's got given a little bit of space and time, he really can hit them. He's quite good on a free kick as well, actually. He's not too bad at that. Obviously at Gladbach there was other players like Raphael and Thorgan Hazard, Edin's brother, and those kind of players who were more sort of the flair ones who'd get highlighted for that kind of thing. But yeah, something he's got in his locker. I don't know how consistently he'll get to do it. Maybe he'll get told off, and maybe that's why he hasn't been playing, because he's been doing it in training too much, and we know Arsene doesn't like shooting from distance. So maybe he'll get fined a week wages for doing that kind of thing. But yeah, just a great hit. And, you know, sometimes it is nice to see a player, because we saw Elneny when he came into the team. He did that a couple of times as well, when sort of looks around and, okay, there's no pass on, no one's really moving for me, it's opened up, no one's closed me down, why not just absolutely have one? And it's a shame you don't get to see those sort of goals as often, at least Arsenal players get scoring those kind of goals anyway. You know, you like sort of go back to the Ramsey one out in Turkey that he hit weird, the weird sort of volley thing. Santi got probably his first season when he came to the club. I remember hitting one from distance, but it doesn't happen too often these days. So yeah, it's nice when you get to see one of those and get to savour them. But hopefully he gets some more. But I would expect that he's more likely to get goals from sort of set pieces and getting his head on things than hammering him from distance, because I'm sure they'll be happy he got the goal, but I don't think that's really in Arsenal's locker. It's not in the playbook to do that kind of thing, is it?
No, it's the time to do it. It's 3-1 up away from home with a minute to go, isn't it?
I suppose that's the...
Yeah. K-Man in the chat, is that's going to stick. Granit the child killer, or Xhaka the child killer.
I saw that.
That's definitely going to stick. There's a Twitter handle if ever I saw one. But yeah, I mean, so overall, we're pretty happy. There's a couple of things I just want to sort of pick up on, generally on a positive nature of it, discussion points. And afternoon to Ahmed, who's just popped into the chat there, regular viewer. John, I'll start with you because I wanted to bring up something that you would have seen the wizard himself, Mr. OG, brought up in our WhatsApp group. And we were talking about the Cockle and Cazorla partnership, which worked brilliantly last season. I don't think there's anybody can debate that. And then obviously it was broken up when Santi got his injury at Norwich, I think it was, and we didn't see it again. He started it back this season, probably for similar reasons. OG made a really good point in our chat where he said that this season it seems like we're almost playing a 4-1-3-2, sorry, a 4-1-4-1 kind of system again, where we're pushing the two kind of number 10s forward rather than two holders sitting constantly, because Santi used to play deeper. We seem to be pushing Santi level with Ozil now and having those two playmakers. Do you think, A, that's just because we've got Alexis up front at the moment and it'll change when Giroud's back in the team? Or do you think that's a genuine movement, as OG suggested, to push Santi further forward and create more from that number 10 position?
I think at the moment it suits because we've got Alexis in the side up front. Having two players of that quality, you can see a pass, and Alexis to, you know, with decent movement that he's got up front, means that if a team does try and crowd out Ozil, then you've got Santi who can hit the pass instead and who can find himself in a bit of space. You've also got the fact that Iwobi is playing a lot more now and he does tend to drift in and he likes that sort of central spot as well. So I think it's just a case of who's playing up front. I don't think that sort of formation will work with Giroud up top, and I would expect us to change to a 4-2-3-1. But also I think it's just generally the personnel in the team, like that system with Xhaka. I mean, it could work, but it's not one that I would do. Personally, I prefer the two. And I'd like to see Xhaka and Santi play together in a couple of games. Elneny, I think, as well, definitely deserves a chance. He's kind of been forgotten in the team. He was really good last season when he came in. The worrying thing about that formation is the fact that Coquelin was pushing forward so much today. It was good because obviously it was opening up space and everything. But when you get when we were getting hit on the counter, you know, our fullbacks have absolutely no cover and we do leave space at the back. So I know Hull didn't exploit it to the fullest today, but you know, Abel Hernandez is a quick player. Snodgrass is a very good, tricky player. Klukas, who we already talked about, was very good today and was hitting some really good passes. And against a better team, I think that kind of system will get punished a lot easier. We saw it like in the PSG game. You know, they got in behind so many times. Obviously, a much better quality team, but thankfully Cavani had what you would consider a normal day at the office, Chris, for us. So it didn't matter too much. But yeah, I personally, I prefer the 4-2-3-1. I just think it's a bit more stable. It helps the fullbacks more. It means that because we do tend to go narrow, I feel a bit safer when we're playing 4-2-3-1 because the fullbacks can provide us that width and get on a little bit more because there is more protection at the back. But yeah, it's interesting. I see the point. It's definitely not, we're not playing the same system as last year, but I do think it is more down to Giroud. Maybe with an eye to bringing in Lucas Perez, maybe Perez will be eventually more of a starter and Giroud will be more of a man off the bench this season. I don't know.
Yeah, that's definitely something that could be possible this season. I think you're right. It's something kind of a work in progress. The other area that I wanted to bring up with yourself, Alice, we've talked about this on the show a couple of times already with the other guests. I want to get your point of view on it. Are you at all concerned about our fullbacks? And when I say concerned, you know, don't get it wrong, I don't think either did anything particularly wrong today.
Sorry, I thought I just screamed on the stream, then I realised I was muted. Hazard just scored. Yeah. Glad back, not Chelsea. It's fine.
I was going to say.
It's the nice one. Carry on.
Yeah, thank you. It threw me there for a minute. Is it something that worries you, Ellis? I mean, obviously, Hector Bellerin, you know, hasn't been at his electric best yet, but it's early days. You know, there's no rush. And Nacho Monreal, you know, a few people have already sort of not pointed the finger, but have just sort of said he's maybe not at the level he was last season. we should stress we're six games into a season. It's a long way to go, but do you have any concerns personally about where the fullbacks are and, you know, what's going on? Because we have got two very, very good backups in reserve now in Gibbs and, of course, Debussy's still around.
I don't think I particularly got much concern about Hector. I think for both of them, really, the issue is the two guys that's in front of them. John touched on it earlier with Iwobi and how he's a bit young, a bit inexperienced. He doesn't quite cover back as well as he should. And then I also said about Walcott and how much he sort of turns over possession. He does seem to try and track back, but I don't know what it is about Walcott. He just doesn't seem quite defensively. He tries, but it's not really good enough at the end of the day. So I think really it's the protection that they're not receiving from their wingers and they're not getting the help there. And to be fair, like you said, we're 5-6 games into the season, and those two wingers haven't been the same wingers for those 5 or 6 games, been chopping and changing, having different players in front of them. So it's probably hard for them to sort of get the balance right and get a partnership with anyone. I think perhaps if we had Ramsey fit, it might be a choice to play him on the right instead of Walcott, because he offers a bit more protection than Walcott does. And maybe with Iwobi being young, it's something you can coach. But I think out of the two, I'd be more worried about Nacho. He hasn't been, like last season, he was a quality player. He's, like I said about defenders, he didn't really stick out that much. He didn't really do much wrong. And he was one of our most consistent players. Sort of, if you're going to rate a player out of 10, I'd say for every game, he was at least a 7. And he just played quite well. But start of this season, he's looked a bit, crosses coming in a bit too much. And I think he's been liable of doing that in the past as well, but it's not been noticed as much. Perhaps you might see Gibbs might come in for a couple of games and we'll have a better picture there. But I'm not massively concerned. It's too really early to say anything, in my opinion. So we'll just have to watch this space, really, and see what happens with the guys. But I'm not too concerned.
No, I know. John and myself have spoken to Neil Chimp, who thinks that Gibbo will probably be in the side sooner rather than later. And sometimes you just get those phases of play, don't you, where they're brilliantly on form for a minute and then it sort of goes quiet. So I wouldn't write Nacho off. I think he'll be fine. It's just one of those things, one of those periods.
Yeah, maybe he's just got a bit complacent, and having Gibbs come in for a game or two might give him the kick up the arse, and then he'll be back to his normal self or his better self. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that's a fair argument. Absolutely, fair argument. Let's have some sort of sum up thoughts in general then before we take a few questions and sort of open the lines, as it were. John, in the grand scheme of things, obviously we had that poor start against Liverpool. It's been fairly decent ever since then. I mean, we're up to second as we speak. Obviously, Man City are, 5 points clear already, which is a bit scary. But with Chelsea losing last night, and of course, that means Liverpool, it's their year, of course, standard. But we're in a fairly good position, would you say, going into the next game, which I think is Chelsea, isn't it, up next?
After
Forest,
of course. Yes, it is. Yeah, next Premier League game, it's Chelsea. Ugh. always happy one. The thing that disappoints me, obviously, I'm happy that because we got such a bad start to the season, and there was so much anger and disappointment, and because of the transfer window and everything and all the usual stuff that happens every single fucking year. It's so annoying and repetitive. Obviously, we've improved game on game. I still haven't seen a stellar performance. Like, Watford was probably our best game, and it's one you just expect us to win anyway. And there were still moments in that that weren't great. But when you think we played PSG away, we got a point, which is a good result. We went away after that game to Hull, who had been in pretty good form and playing some nice football, beat them in the end quite comfortably, something we don't tend to do after away games to Champions League. Yes, Liverpool, the result was obviously very disappointing. Southampton game, got very lucky in, but got the points. So it's better. I do think City are probably going to blow away most teams this year. They do tend to start very quickly anyway, but it's the whole Pep factor, and some of the players they've brought in are just so good, and Gabriel Jesus to come in as well in January. They're the team to really to chase. So I think we need to see it now, like how we do against Chelsea next week will be the big thing. And are we going to stick with, is this our now settled lineup? Is this like the strongest starting 11? Or as Arsene sees it, the strongest starting 11 week in, week out. Because I still think that Giroud probably should be a starter in our team. And I think Xhaka definitely should be a starter in the team. So it'll be interesting to see. But Ellis made a really good point about Ramsey being missing. That does skew the balance slightly. Because when he's in the team, you can play him wide and it gives a bit more defensive cover because he does work so hard. So maybe he's just going out for more pace at the moment and just trying to blitz teams until we get Ramsey back in the team and he can try and balance it up a bit more.
Mm. Yeah, Ramsey to come back in is going to potentially improve the options you've got at least, and yeah. And maybe improve that protection on the right hand side possibly. I mean, he varies it, doesn't he? Sometimes he's very good at protecting the fullback, other times he's off on his little travel, so we shall see what happens. And a question for you, Ellis. I mean, are you looking forward to the Chelsea game next up in the league? Are you apprehensive? I didn't actually see the game last night. I know, shock horror, but I saw the result obviously. Anything worry you about them? I mean, Conte's a very good manager and it's Chelsea, but surely there's a good chance we can get the points off them this time.
You'd like to think so, but it's Chelsea, isn't it? We haven't had a good game against them for a long time, really. So I'm a bit nervous. I did watch the game against Liverpool. They didn't look, for all the plaudits that Conte does get about his defensive aspect of his game, they didn't look that good defensively, especially for the first goal that Liverpool conceded. So they can be got at. So we could get a result. Are we at home against them?
I think it's at Scunford Ditch, isn't it, John? Have you got
that? Let me have a look. No, we're at home.
Oh, we're at home. Okay. Okay. Good.
So
okay,
well, I'd like to think if we're at home, we can get a point at least. Like after this fixture, though, against Chelsea, we have got quite a good run of fixtures coming up. So it's not the end of the world if we do drop points at Chelsea. But it's Chelsea, isn't it? You know what they're like. But is John Terry still going to be injured for that game? Because he was out last night. And David Luiz, I'm not sure what you guys think of him, but I do not rate him. And if he's in that defence, then we've definitely got a good chance because he just goes walkies.
He's leaving PSG has improved PSG. That says it all. no, I believe John Terry is out due to being a massive cunt. I think that's possibly...
Well, surely he should have been out a long time ago then.
to quote Andrew from Arseblog, I think he's been banned from life, or he certainly should be. So I don't know what his situation is. I know he missed the game last night with the ankle problem, and hopefully he is out for a considerable period of time. But in a way, you know, you almost want like David Luiz to stay in, don't you? And just as you say, to sort of see how we get on against them. But just quickly before we take these questions, I'll ask you both the same question. I'll start with you, Ellis. Wednesday, I think it is, Nottingham Forest. Do you care?
I do care because Lord Bentner might actually play. That's the only thing I'll be looking out for. I'm not really into the whatever it's called. Is it Capital One Cup now? Or is it something else?
EFL Cup, I believe. Yes.
Whatever it's called now. Arsene Wenger's never really taken it that seriously, so it's not a competition I really look at. It used to be a competition. You got to see the youngsters, so it might be interesting to see what team we do put out, and if we see some of the young guys coming in and having a good game, it would be interesting. But I'd just be more interested to see if Ben is still shit.
God bless him. Alvaro Negredo has just scored for Middlesbrough, by the way, at Everton. That's a spanner in the works. Lovely little goal, this little cross, big header, Bush. Oh, he put the goalkeeper in with it. Lovely job. That's an old-fashioned goal if ever I saw one. Tommy's made an appearance in the background there as well. Hi, Tommy. John, do you care about Forest other than the Lord potentially returning? Because you know what will happen now. It'll be a Lord hat-trick with a Henry Lansbury hat-trick of assists. That's probably what will happen now.
I mean, I'm not bothered about winning the actual competition itself, but I always want to win every game. I hate losing, regardless of what team we put out. But like Ellis said, it's normally a good chance to see some of the younger players. So I hope to see the Jeff. Maybe Akpom gets a game. I assume maybe Elneny maybe gets a shout. I don't think we can afford to go really, really young because Forest are a pretty decent team. So, you know, Gabriel and Holding maybe get in.
Maybe,
you know,
Ramsey
Gibbs,
as well, if he's coming back to fitness.
Yeah, it might be like a sort of comeback, do 60 minutes, something like that. Yeah, so it should be a fairly decent team we put out with, yeah, like I said, like Jeff, Willock, Akpom, maybe a couple of the other younger players getting in. But I'd expect Elneny and a few of the others to get some minutes. Maybe Giroud will be allowed to play in it as well. He's not getting much game time.
Maybe he didn't put Xhaka in today because he was saving him for the big game on Wednesday. Maybe that's for the big game.
Oh, it's Tuesday night.
It's
Tuesday night. Wait, I don't think it's on the box anywhere, as far as I know. Anyway, we're not here anyway.
I would play Lucas Perez in that game as well, personally. I'd give him a run.
Yes.
Sort of, you know, see if he can get... Because he strikes me as a player that... you know, you can see by, like, just seeing him, it sounds silly, seeing him on Snapchat and stuff like that, he seems like a guy who's settled in quite quickly. You know, he seems to have friends at the club already, and he seems to be involved with everybody. He doesn't look like a lost sheep, but he does strike me as the sort of player who might need a goal to settle him into the club, if you know what I mean, and get him involved, because, you know, the game passed him by a lot against Southampton, and that's only natural. So, yeah, I'd like to see him get some minutes. But that's Tuesday, so we'll be back after that, of course, after that game to discuss that. Right then, let's take some questions. We'll start with Felix Muzingi. Will he start Sanchez for Chelsea? I presume he means up front, I'm guessing. Ellis, do you think that's likely to happen? Can you see Alexis Sanchez in that forward role against Chelsea again?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't particularly think that's his best position. I think he's best coming in wide, and even when he does play up front, he still drifts out wide and then comes in. But like John said earlier, he got two goals today, so maybe they might start him up there. But I just think he's a lot easier to defend against, because he's not a big lad, he's not tall, he's, I think, a big physical presence. Like the Chelsea defence could probably keep him quiet if he's up there playing the lone striker by himself. So I think Giroud hopefully should get a start, or I'd like him to get a start and maybe move Alexis onto the left or even the right, and have Iwobi on one of the other flanks as well. But he's definitely got a start, but not necessarily up front by himself. I don't think that'd be too good against that Chelsea defence, even with David Luiz.
No, I'd like to see us go with pace wide and attack them that way, because I think that's where you can get at Chelsea right now, and particularly with Conte still settling things into his situation. And I got a horrible feeling that Kante in that sort of holding midfield position could potentially mark Alexis out the game, and that would worry me. Whereas Giroud, I think naturally height against Kante is the one thing that you can combat him with, so that's what I would like to see as well. I totally agree. Gareth Barry's just scored a goal for Everton, by the way. How bizarre. Alonso Spencer, that's a name if ever I heard one. Brilliant. John, do you put Ramsey, if healthy, and El Nene in partnership against Forrest?
I don't see why not. Ramsey needs minutes. El Nene needs minutes as well. So if it's a game to do it, this is the perfect one to do it in. I know some people obviously want to see as many of the younger players as they can, but it's about keeping the first team happy, but also as fit as possible in case anyone does drop out. Someone has put in the chat that apparently Arsene Wenger has said that Ramsey won't be available for Tuesday or the Chelsea game. I mean, I always take those sort of comments with a pinch of salt, because you never know. It may be just something they're just putting out there. But yeah, I'd like to see Ramsey get some minutes to try and get his fitness back up, because obviously I think it'd be nice to have him as an option for the Chelsea game at least. But yeah, why not? I'd start them too. I really like El Nene. I think he's a very good player. He came in, did really well last season, especially the short period he had to adjust in. So I think he's a decent player.
Yeah, you're being trolled again, by the way, John, by Dom in the chat. Mr. has also mentioned Christian Bielik and, of course, Gedeon Zellum.
No.
Thank you very much.
That's pathetic.
maybe they might get games. I could see Bielik at centre-half, actually, to be honest. I could see that with Gabriel, potentially. Or holding, depending on whether Gabriel's fitness. So, yeah, be interesting. Okay. Brilliant question from our good friend Jimmy there, John. Who's going to be tasked with ensuring Bennett doesn't try and shag the team coach? Superb. Great work, Jimmy. Like that. Josh is trolling Ellis as well. Good work, Josh. Well done. Do you think Wenger is holding back at the beginning of the season to try and mitigate the issues we seem to have in Christmas until March? That's a really good question, that, actually, Josh. Ellis, do you think there's something in that? Do you think Arsene's trying to change this slump we seem to have, which usually seems to come in November? Is he trying to move things around a bit, do you think?
No, that's a stupid question from a stupid person. No, I don't know. Possibly, yeah. That is definitely an issue at that time of year. Maybe he's just trying to. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the manager goes through his mind. He does some bizarre things, in my opinion, so I couldn't really speculate, to be honest. Possibly, possibly not. That's not a very good answer, I know.
No, I mean, it's a great question, but the truth is we probably will never know. That's the thing, isn't it? It's one of those really good questions, but yeah, it's hard to actually know the answer to it. This one's for you, John. Our friend Ahmed, so Cech or Ospina for the Cups now? I don't think either of them will play Forest. I think it'll be Martinez. Do you agree?
Yeah, probably. I think from everything that happened with the Champions League and Ospina being in, and he had a very good game, but I thought it should have been Cech and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, everyone's sort of talked about that already. It sounded like the fact Arsene basically managed to convince him to stay by saying to him, you get the Champions League and Cech has the Premier League. And it seems like both of them have agreed to that. And they seem quite happy with that. And that was part of why he stayed at the club and didn't go in the end. So I think FA Cup is up for debate over one of the two of them. I think you might see a bit more flexibility over both of them playing some games for that. But for this year, I guess Martinez gets some game time because it's the only time he's really going to get played other than for the, is it under-23s now? Or whatever,
yes,
the
yeah.
Reserve League is.
Yeah, Reserve
these
League,
days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I reckon it'll be Martinez. But FA Cup, I'm not sure. I really don't know who it'll be. It'll be one of Cech or Ospina, but I'm not sure which one.
No, it'd be interesting to see that, actually. Interesting choice. And Marble Halls TV asks us the same. Do you agree with the plan to rotate Cech and Ospina for the Champions League? Do you believe there is such a plan? The guys covered that really well on Thursday's pod, which we'll touch on in a minute. And also, good debate with Paolo Bandini with Arsblog this week. John, you'll be familiar with Paolo.
Yeah.
He had some very interesting points on the goalkeeping rotation thing that goes on at big clubs. It's well worth a listen if you haven't. So we don't like to promote too many shows on our medium, but, you know, we can give Andrew a plug. Okay, I have a question for you, John. In fact, briefly to you both, which kind of came inadvertently from Steve, Lord Hillwood of the ABW Parish. He was asking in the main group to bring up the topic of the enigma that is Theo Walcott. He really does divide opinion, doesn't he? Because Steve's not a fan, I think it's fair to say, of Theo Walcott and how much he goes hiding in games, etc. I didn't think he was bad today, but equally, I don't think he was, you know, amazing. The one thing he has done this year is he seems to have been able to change his game and at least put in a bit of a shift this year. He seems to be more focused. So I just want to very briefly get both your opinions on Theo, whether he's changed enough to justify another chance this season, or whether you're still in sort of Steve's camp of he really shouldn't be anywhere near the side. So I'll start with Ellis.
I'd have to say I'm in Steve's camp, really. Start the transfer window, I thought Walcott was possibly one of the players that might be off this summer, but he's on quite big wages, so that's probably why he didn't go anywhere. But I agree with you, he seems to have been up in his defensive work and getting a bit better that way. But I just think for a guy that's been at Arsenal Football Club for 10 years, he hasn't really progressed. He'll still get us goals like he did today. He'll still pop up with the odd few goals here and there, and it's what you need, I suppose, and what you want from a player. But he's just very frustrating for me personally. I'd much rather have someone else on that wing, be it Aaron Ramsey or having Sanchez there and then Iwobi on the left, than Walcott. But at the moment, that's what we're sort of stuck with and what Arsene's playing. So as long as he's putting on that shirt and playing that position, I'll get behind him and then I'll give him all the shit on Twitter and in WhatsApp chats to everyone else. But no, I'm not a massive fan.
Fair point. And again, very, very measured. John, do you want to blow Theo out the water, or do you want to sort of have him on a little bit of a leash and give him an opportunity to skip around for a bit longer?
No, I think he started the season much better. I mean, last year he was dreadful. Today, obviously, he got the goal, a decent finish. Sanchez's second goal, good run from Frio, good little combination play between the two of them. He should have scored, though. He should be putting away those chances. Great, but in the end, it didn't matter. You know, Alexis scored, but he should have. His crossing today was still really bad. But he was making better runs. And if he keeps that kind of effort up, then it's good. The thing that did make me laugh is that when he came off, they said he had a tiny bit of cramp, which is kind of amusing that he's now got cramp because he's working a bit harder than usual. So maybe that's a little bit harsh on him, but no, it's he's so frustrating because is it 100 goals he got today? Was it career goals? I think it was.
He scored 100 goals. Bloody hell.
Yeah, and you think 100 career goals, that's really good. But then you're like, it's been at Arsenal 10 seasons. Mm. It's not amazing. Okay, then. But then I suppose you have to factor in that he was injured for long periods and he's played on the wing a lot. And I think it was that period of when he was constantly moaning about, I'm a striker, I'm a striker, I'm a striker. We don't get a striker until obviously Perez signs and he says, oh, no, I'm a winger, because it didn't work out last season and he looked rubbish. So you just have to take it as it is. I think right now there's not anyone better to play there. Like Oxlade-Chamberlain isn't in good form at all. You know, Perez obviously is new to the club. The Joel Campbell thing was sending him out was weird. Didn't quite get it. I think we should have a better player than Joel Campbell in the squad personally. But if he's performing better than others, why he gets sent out on loan and someone else doesn't? You know, it's very strange. So I think that Ramsey probably, if he comes back fully fit and firing like we know he can, he'll probably end up taking that right-hand side again. Just because, you know, last season our best team was what, Giroud, Alexis, Ozil, Ramsey, Coquelin and Cazorla was when we had our best run of form. And I was pulling my hair out going, Cazorla shouldn't be in the team and Ramsey should be playing in the middle and not wide right. And as soon as that got changed slightly, we started losing. So what the fuck do I know about football?
It always seems to catch you out, doesn't it, when you sort of think you know it and it's like, no, I don't know. I agree. It's a hard one to judge.
But he's massively frustrating. And I think if it wasn't for the fact that he was on the wages he's on, we could have probably sold him to another club. But I just don't think he would have taken money, lower money anywhere else. And no one was prepared to pay him those wages. Otherwise, I think he would have gone, because we certainly listened to offers for him.
I think you're absolutely right. He is one that divides opinion. Good question, that, Steve. So thank you for that. Our final question before we crack on is from Mark Blondell, who has a habit of asking good questions. And I'm glad, Mark, I was listening. I'm glad you did ask the podcast the question we didn't have time for on the radio last week. I'm glad it got answered. I think Dom answered it for you. So good stuff. But we have got time for your question this week. It's on the same lines, actually. Mark made the point on Thursday about the lack of cover for the fullbacks, which obviously we have covered. But he said, what seems to have clicked since Tuesday? Because obviously today it hasn't been highlighted as much. John, is there an argument to say that nothing really has changed? I mean, they were still exposed today heavily. It's just that maybe Hull weren't quite as good as Saint-Gilloise in it actually exposing them.
I think we still got found out a few times at the back. The obvious strength in Hull's team, there, some of their best players, obviously Snodgrass has been in great form, and El Mohammadi, who's caused us trouble quite a few times whenever we've played against him, both down one side, and it still wasn't addressed today. It's, you know, Arsene's obviously, he's got to pick one thing or the other. Either he starts explaining to Uwobi that he's got to come back and cover more, or he stops Coquelin pushing forward so much and makes him do what he was doing last season, what he was doing very well, where he's covering the fullbacks. So it's got to be fixed at some point, because I think today was just a difference in class. Hull, you know, they're a decent side, but then they're no scratch on PSG, so they're not going to trouble us as much. But you see, they still made a couple of half chances and they got themselves a penalty. So it's something that definitely needs to be sorted out. It's disappointing when you spot flaws and you see them consistently happening over and over again. Okay, I know it's only been two games running, but it's something you want addressed quicker and see more immediate impact on.
Yeah, you want to see something, evidence of something being changed.
It was like last season with set pieces, we were a bit slack on that and picking up men. And I know we do the zonal thing, but the communication for corners and things wasn't very good. So, you know, it's something that definitely needs to be sorted out.
When you're managing a team at whatever level, whether it's the level I manage at or if it's at the very top level, the one thing it winds you up more than anything else is when you concede goals or make mistakes that you've done before, like that you do the same mistakes over and over again.
Yeah,
that's like the worst as a manager. It's just the most frustrating thing in the world because you see that mistake and you train your players, you coach your players in midweek, and you say, right, we don't concede, like for example in my team, corners always our weakness, and you see people, you teach them touch tight for 20 30 40 minutes solid drills and they get it right, and then it comes to match day and they're all loose again. It's like, come on, like why can you not learn? And I think that happens at the top level, it seems to as well, because surely they must coach key areas and sometimes they just don't improve. So it is a bit of a weird one, isn't it? Bit of an enigma, but still. Okay, right, I think we'll kind of draw a line under today's show there. If you have enjoyed our show, thank you, first of all, and do give us a little thumbs up-y jobby down there on the technical side. Just give us a thumbs up. If you really don't like us, then just tell us, and we'll politely respond to you. Honestly, I promise we will be polite. But no, if you do like our show, give us a thumbs up and do subscribe. For those of you that don't know, because we don't mention this very often, these shows are uploaded in an audio format on iTunes a couple of hours after we've done them. Basically, when Danny can be bothered to get out of bed, because he's probably, in fact, I haven't heard from him. John, have you heard from him today? He's probably slept through the game again, hasn't he? I would imagine.
I assume he's still in bed because he hasn't popped up once in the chat. I haven't seen him on. No, he hasn't appeared on my phone either to berate me because I forgot to put in my prediction today, so I get 0 points. That's stupid of me.
Yeah. Thanks, Granite Shacker, for ruining my 3-1 prediction. I would have had 3 predictions in a row. So cheers for that, Granite, you tosser. So when Danny is alive and well, I'm sure he'll upload this to iTunes. So if you don't already, give us a subscription or subscribe, sorry, at iTunes. Other plugs, we've got the podcast from Thursday, which is out now with Chaz Newkey-Burton, who's an excellent guest, really top bloke. He's done quite a lot of pods, tells a brilliant story about the time he had to follow Dennis Bergkamp round for a living and drunk dialed him. Yes, you heard that right. He drunk dialed Dennis Bergkamp. So do give that a listen. Dom naturally carries the show. Jason, Danny and Gimli and Jeff else will fill in. But obviously it is all about Dom. So yeah, do give that a listen. And we'll be back, of course, with the pod next week, as well as the radio show on Tuesday. And just because I can, I'll plug another little podcast that myself and John are involved in. If you like European football, or indeed a review of all the other teams as well as Arsenal, myself and John are part of the Football Hipsters podcast, which you can subscribe to as well. And we're at the FH Pod. It's myself, John, Tom and Drew. And we talk about Ross, football, basically. And Ross, of course. Yeah.
Who was our Southampton fan on the radio show the other week.
Yes. Yes, the guest from last week, Ross, does the show with me on a Sunday night where we talk about the English games, and then myself, John and Tom do the show on the Monday where we review the weekend's action across Europe. So if you like us talking about football, give us a listen and see if you enjoy it. But that's it for the plugs. Thank you once again, Alice, for stepping in at short notice, sir. I do appreciate that.
It's all right. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, sir. I'm sure you'll be back at some point, so I'm sure you'll be back on our screens again. And John, well, I mean, it's been emotional, mate. You know, I've missed you. It's been at least a day since we've last spoken, so you know.
Yeah, it's going to be weird when we eventually live together, but still be always in separate rooms. It's just to keep that parity up.
Keep the distance. You'll be on the Xbox, I'll be on the PlayStation kind of relationship, isn't it? Yeah, but no, thank you as ever for coming on, mate. I do appreciate it. And Everton have just gone 2-1 up, so we'll leave you on that thought. If you've got Seamus Coleman in your dream team, there's some points for you.
Ooh,
right. We have been ABW Radio Live. Thank you very, very much for joining us. We do appreciate it. We'll be back after Forest on Tuesday. Until then, keep it Arsenal. Enjoy your football. And we'll speak to you very soon. Cheerio for now. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. My music hits me so hard, makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me with a mind to rhyme and to hype me. It feels good when you know you're down, a super dope homeboy from the Oak Town, and I'm known as such.
touch this. Yeah, that's how we living and you know you can't touch this. Look in my eyes, man, you can't touch this. Yo, let me bust the funky lyrics. Fresh new kicks and bands, you got it like that. Now you know you wanna dance, so move out of your seat and get a fire girl and catch this beat while it's rolling. Hold on, pump a little bit and let them know what's going on. Like that, like that. Pull on a mention, they'll fall on back. Let them know that you're too much and this is a beat they can't touch. Yo, I told you, you can't touch this. Why you standing there, man? Can't touch this. Yo, sound the bell. School is in, sucker. You can't touch this. Give me a song, a rhythm, making them sweat. That's what I'm giving them now. They know. You're talking about the hammer. You're talking about a show that's hot and tight. Singles are sweating so fast in my white bar tape. To learn what it's gonna take in the 90s to burn the charts. Legit. Either work hard or you might as well quit. That's word because you know. You can't touch this. Can't touch this. Break it down. Stop. Hammer time. Go with the flow. It is said if you can't prove this, then you probably are dead. So wave your hands in the air. Bust a few moves. Run your fingers through your hair. This is it. For a winner, dance to this. Touch this. Look, man, you can't touch this. You better get hyped, boy, cause you know you can't touch this. Ring the bell, school's back in. Break it down. Stop, have a time. Touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. Break it down. Stop. Hammer time. Every time you see me, the hammer's just so hype. Hammer, yo!